speak about the time that we have. Some moments seem more special, more precious than others. Some moments of time we look back and we think, what was that all about? It's a strange thing that we deal with when we think of time. How do we treat time? Well, the Bible says that we can redeem time. We can have it bought back. If we think it's been lost, it can be found in a moment. Because there are two kinds of time. There's God's time and there's our time. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, it says, "See then that you walk diligently, wisely and not irresponsibly, redeeming the time. Because we live in times of much corruption. Therefore, do not be thoughtless, but seek to understand what the will of the Lord is." So, Paul here is linking together the will of the Lord and the time that we spend in our natural lives, and letting us know that there is a time that he is spending that is ongoing, eternal, and always creative and happening at the same time as we are looking at our clocks and our watches and thinking, oh, this is what's happening. This is time going on. God says, no, there's something else happening in my time. I want to get you into that. That's how I'm going to buy back the time that you think has been lost when you look at your clock or your calendar, probably more like it. Because the word used for time here is kairos, redeeming the time. And that word means God's appointed time. There's another word for time, which is chronos, and that's our calendar time or clock time. But this word kairos, God's appointed time, is the eternal things that God does that last and make all things new. They are born. We don't kind of manufacture things in eternal quality. Things that come into the kingdom of God, eternal things are born. They're born of God. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. So God brings things into reality that are born of him, and that's his time. There's lots of things we can do and make and be quite creative. They pass away, but God's things last. And in God's time, when he does things, there's never a waste. Nothing's ever wasted. Something happens. It has movement. But not chronos. That's clock time. Many of the things that we do don't last. They pass away, and we can look back and say, well, that was a waste of time. God says, nothing's wasted. That was part of your journey. But I'm here now to bring you into my time. And that's where the will of the Lord comes in. Seek to understand what the will of the Lord is. And the word used for the will of the Lord here is thelema or thelema, which is a heart desire of God. It is not some facts that is written down. This is the dot point outline of my will for you, all of the things that you'd better achieve, because this is what I have got for you and you must do it. This is coming from another place. I mean, we do have the commandments. We have the Ten Commandments. And you say, well, that's the will of the Lord. For sure. And that's written in dot points, 10 of them. But this word, thelema, is a heart word. It's another word used. There are two words for the word of the Lord. And prolema and philema. Now, this is the word philema, which is God's heart, his desire to bless you by bringing you into line with his design for your life. So that's his will. He's designed you with a life. So whenever we choose to be still and just know that that's what God is thinking, that's his desire, that's his will, then we can actively say, well, Lord, I'll receive that from you. That's a choice. We actually say, yes, God, bring me into line with what your desire is for me. Well, we're actually redeeming time then. We're saying yes to God. We're receiving his will. So you could think, well, here I am sitting at a bus stop or whatever. I think I'll just talk to God about his heart of wanting to bring me into line with his design for my life. Now, that's never going to be a waste of time. It's in a new time zone. I mean, you can think sitting at a bus stop is, wow, this is a waste of time. But it doesn't matter. When we use what spaces of time seem to not have any real function other than just waiting around, that's an ideal opportunity to say, well, I'm going to receive your will for me. We enter a new time zone. It is a new time zone when you do that. You're connecting. And you're not seeing anything, but you're knowing something. You're recognizing, you're acknowledging, God, you're at work. You're thinking about me now. So really, when we get down to that scripture, seek to understand what the will of the Lord is, it really, at its deepest level, is not about all the things that you're supposed to be doing. It starts off by being about who we are meant to be. God's saying, you are a certain special child that I have brought into being. And I want you to understand how precious you are to me, uniquely. So it starts off with us realizing what we are, who we're meant to be, before it becomes what we're meant to do. Because if you think you're the wrong person, you'll try and do the right things, but it may not be in the design of who God created you to be. And out of being who you're meant to be, you will do the things you're meant to do because they'll be real. It'll be the real you. I mean, the Bible in the Old Testament says our ways are not his ways. God says to us, my ways are not your ways. The Apostle Paul thought he was doing God's ways by persecuting Christians. God threw him on the ground and gave him the greatest shock of his life. He was blind for 3 days. And he must have thought, what am I doing here? Who am I? What has just happened? And Jesus sends another disciple called Ananias to say to Paul, tell Paul he's a chosen vessel of mine. Paul thinks, wow, how? And he starts to understand what the will of the Lord is, because he starts to understand the will of the Lord means who he is. He's a chosen vessel. And then he gets to know what he's meant to be doing. And Ananias even tells him a few things there. He says, tell Paul. And you think, oh, here will come a tremendous vision, a list for what Paul's going to do, the mighty things he's going to do. And what he says to Ananias is, tell Paul what things he has to suffer for my sake, then, well, thank you, Lord, that was a great job description. But of course, God was glorified in that. Now, Jesus is saying the same thing to us. You're a chosen vessel. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. You've been chosen before the foundation of the world to be special, set apart before me. So if we can say, well, that's who I am, that's your thought of who I am, that's who I'm meant to be, well, that's getting us a long way towards getting to know what we're meant to do, because that's who we are in pure and simple basic terms as far as God's concerned. And I'd like to lean towards that reality in my life. So that's when our ways can become his ways and his ways our ways, because he says you're meant to be this chosen vessel and you're meant to be working alongside of me and I'm alongside of you, and you're going to find that my ways are things I would do, I will put in your heart, and that's the sort of thing that you will desire to do, and then our ways will coincide. What a great way to live. Now that's where it's heading. That's redeeming the time. I'm sure that Paul would have loved to have been doing God's thing all his previous life. He was just doing the wrong thing because he was being the wrong kind of person. He started off now when Jesus said, a new beginning. So in our lives, we see time. This is in our chronos, our clock time, our calendar time. And it's normal, it's natural. This is what I see every day. I see time as a currency that I have to spend. I've got so much, and usually not enough. And I think, this time thing is a bit of a problem. But I have to come into a realization that that's not the only time frame I'm living in. But it is a currency we have to spend on ourselves. It's ours to use. And we can be fearful of losing it, wasting it, or being pressured by it. Have you ever felt pressured by time? I mean, it's almost like it's got a life of its own. Be there, get there, you're late. What are you doing there? You're wasting time. Now, when we're conscious and we get behind the scenes of our clock time and we're conscious of God always being active in his kairos time, he's always doing something that's going to last, it's eternal. He never ceases, but he's doing it at rest, but he's doing it. Then we can change the quality of our clock time, our calendar time. We can start to think, there is something else happening in my life because I'm linked up to God and he's told me that I'm a chosen vessel of his. He's pouring himself into me. So then there are things coming up that he'll let me know that he's doing. And that can move you out of this pressured system of our currency of time. So redemption means that God buys back. The word redemption, you could say restore, redeem, purchase. It means he buys back and restores all that's lost. That includes time you think has been wasted, the effort that's come to nothing, the hopes that have been dashed. He won't necessarily bring the same things back, or the same people, or the same events, but he brings you back as a new person. He brings you back into this present moment with a new sense of who you are. That's where it starts. And he says, you're ready to go. You're ready to go. This is you, it's you and me now, he says. All right, you might have thought, what was all that about? But right now, we're ready to go. And we say, well, what am I supposed to do? And he says, well, just hang on. Just get used to that for a moment. Just get used to the fact that we're together at this time. You're in the right place at the right time to think the right thing and to do the right thing. So, you got it? Yeah, okay. And that's God's "Behold, I make all things new" word to us. At any time you like to say that, he's saying, yes, you've got it. Behold, I'm making all things new. What about how I blew it yesterday? Behold, I'm making all things new. That was yesterday. Why do you keep worrying about what that person said to you last week and carrying that around? Behold, I'm making all things new. Okay, this is hard, Lord. Yeah, I'm redeeming the time. Boy, it's costing. This redemption money, it's expensive getting you back, but I've given you my life to do it. All right? You're a chosen vessel to me. So then, because this is happening throughout our day, it means a new here and now understanding of his desire for us to be living the best life we could be living. That's what he's saying. That's what I want for you. So we can start to see through, because you will see the disorder around you. You'll look around you and you'll see things falling apart, because this world system is ordered by, guess what, the tyranny of clock time. That's what orders it. Everything's heading somewhere, or not going there fast enough, or gone too fast, and we've missed it. But we can see through that. All right, now we've collected our thoughts now. We're going to see through that, and we're entering the parallel universe of eternal time. That's what our faith can do, because that's real. Don't see it, but it's there. And our kind of isolated, independent self under the tyranny of the other kind of time and at the mercy of uncertain circumstances, all of that and all the anxiety, that can fall away because we're entering a new dimension. But God has to get us across the bridge. How does he get us out of this fear and stress time into the stillness and trust time? Well, that's how he says, I'm going to help you redeem the time. So how do we now look at the past, the present, and the future? Well, we can see now our past as being a journey of a whole lot of experiences that have brought us to who we are now supposed to be. They weren't a waste of time. Paul's life before he was met by Jesus on the road to Damascus wasn't a waste of time. It was his journey to get to where he was told by God who he was. And that was the time that redeemed the time. But that could be happening for us all the time. So that after a while, you've basically shed a lot of the worry and anxiety of all of those things in the past. You say, right, okay, you used that. I wondered why that happened, but now I can see you've got me to here, and that's taught me things. I'm going to treasure this moment more than ever now. So we can see the past as a whole lot of experiences that have brought us to who we're supposed to be. Because of what? Because of God and of who he originally created us to be. That was his idea in the first place. So that's the past. And for the present, we can now see our present as being our faith that God is at work in bringing who we really are into being. We can say, you've made me as a chosen vessel. That's a reality. That's happening now. That's happening now. And you're giving new meaning to everything I do. I've got a pretty ordinary life, Lord. I just do ordinary things. But in these ordinary things that I do, I'm going to start being more aware and more conscious of the fact that you love me as I am, and you're going to let that love flow through me to others around me. So the ordinary things can become extraordinary because I'm linking myself in my time to your eternal time, where you are always bringing forth something eternal and lasting and good. And you're waiting for partners to come on board and be there with you. So that then our future is, we can now see our future as being the hope and expectation that he'll reveal his goodness in action. You start to see more coincidences that are really God incidences. You'll say, did you see me in that? Yes, that was you. So we can begin to expect to see more of that. So then, redeeming the time is vitally linked up to knowing that we can occupy the same eternal time frame as Jesus. You could be doing it now. That's what I'm seeking to do now. I mean, I could come here and say, I'm going to give a lesson this morning, a talk, a speech, and get my notes organised and give a speech. And I think, I don't want to hear myself talk and do a speech. I want to know that while I'm here now, there will be some things that the Holy Spirit will be taking eternally and placing in your hearts because of the scriptural truth of what's been shared, and that he is at work making them a reality. And that is what I'm conscious of doing. Otherwise, I would be thinking, well, I filled in that little 25 minutes all right. I got the words out. Ridiculous. The fact that I've got the privilege of being here and be able to talk about God and to know that he's at work saying what he wants to say into your heart in his own way, with the words that you will understand, maybe the words that I say aren't terribly eloquent, but my faith is that God is at work in your hearts, opening up a new hope of his revealing his will to you, starting by telling you who you are in him. And in John chapter 12, verse 26, he says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. Well, how are you going to know where Jesus is? How on earth can you find out where Jesus is so that you can be there too? Well, for a start, he's right here with you. But you can be where he is at any time. He's always in Kairos time. I mean, we're fixated with Chronos time, what happened yesterday or tomorrow. Two different worlds, but God's saying, come into my time. Don't worry about what's been wasted or what's late. I can, in one moment, get you across the bridge. I'm going to get you across the bridge now. How does he do it? Well, here's an example. And I was talking to a lady through the week, and she just dropped one little sentence and said, somebody rang me up earlier today and said they had me on their mind, they were thinking about me, so they decided to pray for me. And then they felt God was with them, and they rang and told me that they'd prayed. And she said, I really felt uplifted, and I thought, somebody got across the bridge. It was as simple as that. It wasn't incredibly spectacular, but they went from one time into another time, knowing what the will of the Lord was, and joined Jesus, because that's where he was in that lady's need. So no matter who you choose to pray for, at that time, at any time, you will be where Jesus is. Where I am, my servant will be also. You can be where he is, because he's with that person you're praying for in that need. And in fact, you may not, I mean, this can happen by remote control. You're praying for them in their need, but you may be just with them, sitting with them, trying to share things, but not knowing whether you're really resolving anything. But you can be knowing that you're with somebody, saying, thank you, Lord, you are with this one here. You are loving them. You're opening up to them who you are. You are actually then joining the presence of Jesus, who's with them, loving them. That's a blessed moment. It's been creatively arranged by God for you. You've crossed the bridge. God's heart is beating with a desire to bless that person. I mean, he's doing it for everybody. But when you tap in, your heart's beating along with his. He says, we're here together. And the person you're praying for is blessed. There's a prayer meeting happening. However God's going to bestow the blessing, you pray for somebody, you don't know how he's going to bless them, but you pray anyway and you leave it to God. You may get an insight of what to pray, and the Holy Spirit will quicken that. And you can have an expectation of what God's going to do. But you get blessed, because there's no greater meaning for that moment than in what you're doing now. You say, oh, well, I could be doing my tax return now. That's got real meaning for me. And I'm under pressure to do it. And God says, well, go and do it. But there's an invitation out there. Would you like some Kairos time? Would you like to cross the bridge into a dimension and into a universe, a parallel universe where, wow, I'm doing things? Would you like to share that with me? Well, yeah, okay. Well, I want to tell you, there's no better thing you could be doing than that at the time. Get back to your tax, will you, though, as soon as you can. But remember, that moment is a moment you're sharing with God. It releases you. And it releases to you God's love and peace and joy. The more that's practiced, well, I mean, I know that you do pray for one another. All I'm wanting to get across today is, can we be more conscious and aware that we are occupying another time zone when we do that? That it's a powerful moment? You might say, well, I should give more time to doing that. The thing is, as you value it and acknowledge it with more fervour, with more of a sense of, yes, this is real, the more that lingers and goes along with you during the ordinary hours and minutes throughout the day, that starts to become a way of thinking that you're carrying that. You've crossed the bridge and you stay across the bridge all day, even though you're doing normal other things. There is something lingering where you're saying, I'm still actually attached to you, Lord. This is hanging around a bit. I'm occupying your time and I'm also doing this other things that the clock is telling me to do. But you're here too. Do you know what's happening? You're redeeming the time. The quality of your time has become totally different. He's making all things new. Amen.